Move that, don't worry. This week, I've been thinking about the theme that we had from last week. Now, for those of you that weren't here last week, let me just recap a little bit. We were looking at Romans 15, the first half, and it talked about how the goal of Romans was bringing us to this crescendo, of all creation is bringing us to the crescendo of being a harmonious choir before the Lord. In unity. And I've been thinking about that all week. And the reason I've been thinking about that all week, well, number one, because I spoke on it probably, but also because this week we were running an English camp. Wild West. Now you might think, what does an English camp have to do with a harmonious choir? Well, it was this. You see, there was a group that I work with typically, there was the Lees, there was a group that they had in, and we all worked together create this harmonious choir of a beautiful English camp. Oh, okay, so not so spiritual, but as I looked at the week, I couldn't help but smile every time I thought about it. And I was like, this is it in an English camp style. Here's that harmonious choir where everyone's working together and each one in their area of strength. But as we worked together, helped each other, it was just a fun, wonderful week. Now, you've seen some of the pictures because I thought you might enjoy to see some of the people that are in our congregation helping with this Wild West. You probably haven't seen some of them as cowboys. In particular, one that my favorite this week, I just have to confess, was Jeff. Have you seen the cowboy and Jeff come out? I loved it this week. I hadn't seen that come out before. I knew it was there, but I got to see it come out. And as we all worked together, I thought you'd enjoy that. As we all worked together, it was just this beautiful unity of making it a great week. Okay, but back to Romans. Okay, so that was the first half of Romans. Today we're looking at the second half of Romans. Now, if the first half of Romans 15 was the crescendo, what Paul had been working all of Romans to reach this, to describe what the ultimate goal is, this harmonious choir of God's people working together to create a glory, singing God's glory together, then what is the rest of the book about? Why? That's what I had to ask myself as I looked at this. I thought, well, we already hit the crescendo, so now what's there? We're going to break it down and we're going to look at it. It's kind of a long passage, so we're going to look at it a section at a time. But if you turn to Romans 15, we're going to start in verse 14. And we'll just kind of break it down together. Verse 14 tells us, Paul's writing and saying, let me just read it to you. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent in instructing one another. What an interesting way to begin bringing conclusion to this letter that Paul's been writing to the Church of Rome. This letter, the Book of Rome, is probably the most theologically complete book we have in the Bible. And he just took all this care to write this very theologically complete letter to the Church in Rome. And then he ends the letter, beginning to bring closure to the letter, and he's saying, but I myself am convinced, brothers, that you are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Well, what? That's interesting. Interesting why he wrote it. So we'll have to get to that in just a minute, then why in the world did he write this letter? But what I'd like to say is that church in Rome, he's complimenting them. And I think this compliment also fits our church here. I think that we, as a church, are full of goodness. We are complete in knowledge. And we are competent in instructing one another. And I think that the Lord wants you to hear that today. By the way, all three have to be present to be balanced in our faith. For it's out of our knowledge and our understanding of the Word and who God is, our complete understanding, that helps us to live out the faith and produce good fruit, the goodness. And then in turn, we're competent in instructing one another. I think about half of you could be standing up here today. I just think that this describes who we are. And it described the Church of Rome. So if Paul thought, even though it described the Church of Rome, and I think it describes us, and yet we needed to hear this, well, then we'll keep going. It's probably good we've been studying the book of Romans, huh? So let's look at 15 and 16 to see why he wrote it then. I've written you quite boldly in some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. As I look at that, I kind of had to really break it down, and I think there are kind of three main things he's saying as why he wrote this letter. He wanted to give us bold reminders of the truth of his priestly ministry and the necessity of God's touch. Well, again, I kind of looked at this and I wondered how this fit with what he had just been talking about. He had just gone to talking about the goal of being this harmonious choir, and now he's talking about this. And so, you know what I did? I actually went ahead and Googled how to help your choir sound better. I was just curious. I thought, well, what is it? Well, how does it fit? I mean, I don't know. Let's see. And this is what I found. I found this website that gave two main points of helping your choir sound better. Now, again, I'm not a music teacher. You're not a choir. But hang with me for a minute, okay? Because he was using that analogy. Let's look at it. Here it is. Here's what the website said. As a singer, you should always be aware of the balance your choir is aiming for in each section of each piece, and stay conscious of how your own singing is contributing to that. Depending on the piece of music, the volume of each part shouldn't necessarily be the same. Good balance doesn't mean every part has the same volume. It means every part has an appropriate volume. Are you and the others in your section singing too loudly or too quietly? Adjust your volume. And maybe have a word with your fellow singers or the choir director if you feel something's out of balance. So the first thing that we need to do to help our choir sound better is think about balance. And when I read that, I was like, wow, that's what we've been talking about. That's what chapter 14 and the beginning of 15 were. To not judge, to lift each other up, to help each other. Okay, balance, got that. We've been working on that. We've been studying that. So what's the next thing? I read on. It said the next thing you need to do to help your choir sound better is think about tone quality. Tone quality, here's what it said. I'm not making this up. This was really on the internet. Okay? Tone quality is much harder to perfect and acquire than balance. It's mostly up to the singers themselves rather than the director to improve it, because it requires them to not only listen to themselves and each other, but to adapt their voice accordingly. This awareness and response is extremely important to all types of singing, whether performing with a choir or as a soloist. It's through one-on-one instruction that the singer really progresses towards the ideals of efficient, artistic singing. Choral singers are strengthened by taking responsibility for their own performance as a soloist. The choral director and voice instructor have the golden opportunity to build singers who, in singing solo, learn to contribute even more to the choir. So as I thought about this passage and I thought about why Paul would be writing this, that seemed very fitting for me. I thought, I think Paul's talking about our spiritual tone quality. He's been talking about the spiritual balance and the unity of the choir, and now I think he's talking about our spiritual tone quality. Don't worry, you're not on music. I'm not either, okay? But I started thinking about this, and on the websites it talks about for music you need to open your mouth, stand tall, breathe low, da-da-da. But if Paul's talking about our spiritual tone quality, which in turn contributes to the greater sound of the choir. And let's go back and look at the three reasons that he wrote this letter. They were bold reminders of the truth, priestly ministry, and the necessity of the touch of God. So today, with the goal of improving and contributing to a greater harmonious choir, I'd like us to think about our personal spiritual tone quality. All right? Let's break it down. Let's look at truth. Truth. Why would we need spiritual reminders? Why would we need bold reminders of the truth? Here's why. Because we're fallen people. See if this describes you, because it definitely describes me. We remember the things we don't want to remember and have trouble remembering the things we do want to remember. Yeah. So if you're like me and struggle with it that way, then you need bold reminders of the truth. That's what all of Romans is. Bold reminders of the truth of who we are before God, who God is, who Christ Jesus is, what he did, how we're saved through his grace, how it's for everyone, and how we can grow in that. I need those bold reminders. The Church of Rome did, and I believe we do too. We need to remember that we're in a spiritual battle. It's a daily battle. The world around us wants us to relax because they just enjoy life, find the pleasure in it, find the good of the day, and relax in it. But we need to actually daily be intentional. Intentional to remember and think about God and how we're living for God and the spiritual battle that we're in. And we even go back and use some of Paul's own words in this letter. We need to have this daily renewal of our mind. Remember in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. We need that daily reminder of the truth for the daily renewing of our mind. The second thing Paul talks about is he talks about the priestly ministry. Now he talks about his priestly ministry. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, follow my example as I follow Christ. And so as we begin talking about this, though, he's talking about his. He has the priestly ministry of doing these things, but in the same way we're to follow his example. And we know that we are all called to the same priestly ministry. It's all throughout. It was in Romans. Again, if we want to stay within the letter, we can look back in Romans 10. Do you remember it? Romans 10, 14, and 15 said, how then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So let's look at what Paul says in this chapter 15, about his priestly ministry, and then let's think about ours. In verses 17 to 22, he says this, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me and leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, sorry, there's my specialist, they can help us. I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who have not who were not told about him will see. Those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. All right, so as we think about his priestly ministry, we're able to think about a few things. Now remember, the same priestly ministry that he's called to, we've also been called to. Sharing the gospel. And we need to maintain our evangelistic focus, our focus of the lost. You hear it coming through very strongly here. I went where they hadn't heard. I was detained, in fact. I gave up some of my plans to do that. His heart is for sharing Christ. Our heart should be sharing Christ with the lost. How does he do it? He does it through signs and wonders, through words and deeds. How do we do it? Through words and deeds. Remember, we're complete in our knowledge and full of goodness and competent to instruct others. When I talk to people about our need for sharing Christ, you hear them say things like, I can't talk to others. I don't have the gift of speaking like you. I don't have the gift of teaching. I can't talk. Even Moses had some of these excuses. Remember? Who am I? What will they think of me? Do you notice the common theme in all of those objections? I, me. Paul reminds us here, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to the way of God. I think that's very reassuring. It's really not our job. You don't need to worry about those objections, because it's not if you can speak, if I can speak. It's not if I have the right words. We need to be faithful with what God has entrusted us, and obedient in the opportunities he gives us, and then trust him. Because it's his job to make you grow. And when things happen, it's because of God. Not how elegant we were in our speech, not how kind we were to our neighbor, not how good we were. All glory goes to God. So as we maintain our evangelistic focus, looking outward, looking for others, looking for ways to share Christ, we can rejoice. Take those objections and fears away. We can instead rejoice because we trust that God will work, and we know he will work even when we can't see it. So there's a joy in it. And we see that. Again, Paul says, therefore I glory in Christ. If you remember Paul's story through Acts, there would be some really hard times, some things that you would think he might not be rejoicing about. He was chased out of town, shipwrecked. I mean, the list goes on and on. Okay? And yet, if you read his letters again and again, I rejoice. I rejoice in Christ. I glory in what Christ has done. As we maintain our focus of God and reaching out to others and sharing Christ, we can also rejoice, because we know God is at work. Finally, as we think about these things, we see that Paul has to keep changing his plans. There has to be a willingness to adjust our plans. Let's look at those are the kind of the next set of verses. So if you've got your Bibles open with me, let's look at them. Verses 23 to 29. But now that there is no room... I'm having trouble reading this morning, guys. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have no longing for... All right, let's try that again. And since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing. They owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I've completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in full measure of the blessing of Christ. When we think about maintaining our priestly or our priestly ministry that God has called us to, and remembering that, we also have to be willing to adjust our plans to God's. Paul as you hear here, really wanted to reach the Church of Rome. And actually, he wanted to get on to Spain, some more land where people of Christ had yet to be preached. And probably this letter, as far as we understand, this letter was probably written when he was in Corinth. Now, if you know your geography, work with me a little on this. Okay, if he was coming from Jerusalem and made it to Corinth, of course, Corinth is in what is currently southern Greece. Okay? And Rome is in Italy. So he's already about halfway there to his goal of Rome. And yet, he's turning around to go back to Jerusalem. He's doing so out of a mercy ministry, if you will. He's returning funds that have been collected to take them back to the church in Jerusalem. It's part of his ministry of uniting the Gentiles and the Jews. But he had the plan of teaching where Christ had not been yet taught, and visiting the Church of Rome, and yet he was willing to set those aside for God's plan. In the same way, I want to say this, it is not wrong to make our plans. Okay? Even Paul made plans. It's not wrong to make plans, but we have to always hold them loosely before God. And we have to willingly adjust as necessary. Changes come, adjustments are necessary because of a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's purely circumstances. How many of you have experienced or heard stories of loved ones near you that have had to change plans because of cancer, divorce, death, economic crisis, loss of a job? Life happens, circumstances change. Sometimes we run into obstacles. And those are the devil, actually, simply putting obstacles in our way to keep us from following the will of God. And finally, sometimes our plans change because God just has a better plan. And we don't always see it. And we have to trust. And in all these things, we have to trust and rest assured and know that God has a bigger plan. And we can rest at peace in knowing that because he loves you and your goal is following him, that he'll guide us daily, step by step in that. And you can rest assured in that. So as we remember our priestly ministry, we're maintaining our evangelistic focus, we're rejoicing in it because of what God does, and yet we have a willingness to adjust as necessary. All right, so the third thing we said that we need to consider, this spiritual tone quality that's important for that, is the necessity of God's touch. That is all throughout this letter. That is all throughout this passage we've been reading already. We went back to those first verses, and you remember him. He was talking about why he wrote the letter, and he said so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Being complete in goodness, competent in knowledge, full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent in instructing others is nothing without God. Nothing without his touch. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And as we reach out to others, we do that in the power and the strength that God gives us. Paul talks about the signs and wonders. Not many people today, as we're reaching out, have signs and wonders as Paul did in the same way. Not because God can't do it, God can. But God has performed miracles in each of us. By his touch, we have become a new creation. We are. You yourself are a wonder. You have been touched by God if you're following him daily. And in doing so, you are an example of the power of God. We need the touch of God in all that we do. We need the touch of God as so much that Paul ends his letter by talking about prayer and asking for prayer for himself. He himself, one of the greatest apostles ever, realizes he needs the touch of God, and that part of having the touch of God is having people pray for you. So we're going to look at the final passage of the final part of today's passage. Romans 15, 30 to 33 says this: I urge you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. God needs to be our source of power and our source of strength. And the way that we help each other in that choir in accomplishing that is praying for each other. We need to be praying for ourselves and praying for each other. And Paul actually, very interestingly here, breaks down that prayer into two parts. If you look at it, he talks about the prayer, praying for me, pray that I will be rescued from the unbelievers. We need protection from unbelievers. And then he goes on to say, and pray that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. We also need to pray for acceptance from the saints. Interestingly enough, the two things that he lists are two areas that Satan loves to attack. Satan loves to use the unbelievers to tear us down, create fear, and sometimes the acceptance of saints is not what it should be either. Another area that Satan loves to attack is the unity of the church. We need to be praying for these things, for ourselves and for others. It's prayer that releases God's power. We need the touch of God. And he ends this chapter by saying, "The Lord, the God of peace be with you all." In all of these things, as we're thinking about our tone quality, and we're asking the Lord what I need to work on, may the God of peace you. He's the God of power that enables us to do these things, but he's also the God of peace, and we can rest in him. So let's go back and review, shall we? If this is all about checking our spiritual tone quality, then let's have a moment of reflection and do a little spiritual check, if you will. The first area we talked about was needing the boldness of the truth, the reminders of the truth. How are you doing in renewing your mind daily with the truth? Getting those reminders of the truth daily to keep us on the right path. How are you doing on staying focused in your priestly ministry? Are you aware of the unbelievers around you? Do you have God's eyes and hearts when you see them? Are you helping point others to God through your words and your deeds? Do you have a joy in that? Do you have a joy in life? Do you have a joy in it, not because of what you're achieving or what you're doing, but because of what you know God is doing? Are you remaining faithful, even when faced with challenging times, when things don't go the way you think they should? How about the touch of God? Are you seeking it regularly, more than just daily in fact? Are you turning to him for the strength that you need and the wisdom in every situation? Are you allowing him to work through you? Are you praying for yourself and for others in the body? And are you finding your peace and your rest in him? As we do these things, as we grow and develop in our personal spiritual tone quality, we learn to contribute even more to the choir, harmonious choir singing about his glory. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we have the opportunity to be a part of a church that is full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct others. That we, as we follow you, can be part of a harmonious choir that brings glory to you. But God, we want to do that in the way that brings you the most glory, which means we also have to take time and work on our own spiritual tone quality. God, would we leave here, will you remind us of the things that you've taught us through your scripture and in your word? Will you help us to evaluate our own lives? And Lord, help us to work on these areas. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to renew our minds daily. To honor you with the spiritual ministry and the priestly ministry that you've called us to. And God, may we not forget that it's all about you. To stay at your feet and seek your touch. God, I just thank you for letting us be a part of your story. Your story in this world, your story in Skopje. Help us to do it in a way that brings honor to you. Thanks, Lord. Amen.